Lashana Tova Tike Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford with my wife and Bible teacher Sheila, who will be sharing in a moment. Please now bow your heads and join me in this opening prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and give you honor. Guide us by the light of your Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We constantly lift up all our loved ones that need your salvation. Keep pulling at the strings of their heart and do whatever it takes for their eyes to be unveiled. We beseech your healing power on the listeners tonight from the suffering of any affliction, and for those particular requests recently given to us, show mercy to the many escaping refugees from the Middle East, and that through their trials they will reach out to you. For you alone are the world's only real hope. And may your face shine upon us as we overcome our difficulties because of your power, O Lord. Bless tonight's study, and may you alone be glorified. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And wow, we are less than a week away from the start of the three feasts that occur every fall in this season, beginning with God's Real New Year celebration. It'll be from sundown this Sunday for 2 days until Tuesday at sundown on the Jewish calendar.
Perhaps some of our listeners are curious why it's 2 days.
Sure, because back then the new moon could only be proclaimed when they saw the first sliver of the new moon for that month. So just to be sure that they really saw it, they made it a two-day festival. And it was a two-day feast when Jesus was here. And actually, Rosh Hashanah, which is its Hebrew name, Rosh meaning head and Shana meaning year, head of the year, it also took on a common expression of no one knows the day or the hour, because really only God knew that.
And I don't think NASA was there to tell us.
That's right.
I do know you are going to expand on that expression tonight, as well as some other idioms also associated with God's new year, right?
Yes, because there's actually many others, and there are others for other feast days as well. And next week we're going to look at Yom Kippur. We'll actually see some for that appointment too.
Okay, any news that should be shared this week? I understand some are saying there will be another drop in the economy soon, like America saw 7 years ago and 7 years before that, and both on the same day.
Yes, actually, the last day on the Jewish calendar, which is called Elul 29, this is during Teshuvah, by the way, on God's calendar, which this year is this Saturday night and Sunday until sundown. So because of that being on a weekend, the market teachers like Jonathan Kahn say the market might plunge either on the Friday before, which just happens to be on 9/11, or it will wait till Monday. But if it waits till Monday, that will actually be the following year, because God's new year will have started.
But also next year.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, and as I said last week, which is archived on our webpage, I don't think we can be positive about this year being a Shemitah year, but I do agree we did experience 2 7-year cycles. Oh, and one more thing, and a lot of people overlook this. When they said that 29 was the day for both of the major economic downturns, 7 years and 7 years, if you think about it, that really, we didn't know that until the closing bell here, and that was already Tishri 1 in Israel, because they're 7 hours ahead of us. And so, therefore, it was really the next year. So, it kind of goes along with what I was saying last week, but I forgot to mention this.
So, I guess it's best to say again, only God knows for sure.
Amen. But I have to say, the markets have been a little jittery lately, so we'll soon see. But let's move on. Meanwhile, Russia is getting very much involved now in Syria to fight ISIS and the other rebels. even sending a giant submarine with nuclear warheads just 2 days ago to help Assad, who, don't forget, is a puppet ally of Iran. And I know you're probably asking, why does Russia, who is not technically a Muslim country, really care so much?
Yeah, it's the future underground oil pipeline.
You got it. There's always an underlining meaning. Oh, excuse the pun. But yes, a very long pipeline is being planned from Iran now that sanctions are lifting through Iraq, which is why Iran's Revolutionary Guards are there to eventually take over at least the northern area. And then into Syria, this pipeline will go, and out the Mediterranean to sell to Europe. Gazprom, located and owned by Russia, wants to become the leading energy supplier in all the world and is well on their way. So a pipeline expansion from the Middle East would definitely enhance its monopoly in a big way. So we said all that so you will understand it really isn't that Putin loves Assad all that much, but he must protect his ventures.
Yeah, no surprise there. I don't think Assad knows what he's getting into. All right, then. You can send your end time question to by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And again, your love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And as a special bonus, this Thursday, September 10th, Sheila will be teaching at Lakeshore Assembly of God on the Fall Feast and the Rapture. So make an effort to join us at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at 7 p.m. in Menor.
And then, on the following Tuesday, the 15th, those who live in the vicinity of Newton Falls, Ohio, I will be speaking at Roby's Restaurant at a Rosh Hashanah dinner. Here's the number to reserve your seats. Call 330-527-2777.
It's only $15. What a deal. And the menu looks fantastic. That's 330-527-2777. There's those sevens again.
Yeah. And come on, guys. When's the last time you took your sweetie out for dinner?
Then, on the 18th, if we are still here, the Prophecy DVD night in Chesterland at Chester Christian Center. Topic will be Feast of Yom Kippur, which comes on September 23rd.
That's right, and that's an interesting date. When the Pope meets with our president, then addresses our Congress, and then on to the UN.
First time a Pope has ever addressed Congress or the UN seems more like a political move to me.
Yes, it does, and I've been talking about that, and why not? It's also the first time there's ever been a Jesuit Pope, which, by the way, was always prohibited under canon law by the Vatican in the past. And it's due to their terrible reputation. But do your own study. Plenty of information out there now on the Jesuits. And it will horrify you.
Yeah, the only Jesuit we know about. Okay, time to move on to the fall appointments of God that Jesus will literally and personally keep, just like he did in the spring with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts 2.
That's right. And those spring feasts are called Passover, Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. And then later, 50 days, is Pentecost. And now, in the fall, still to come, to be literally fulfilled, is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. And I must talk about the eighth observance, which is actually the Sabbath day.
And his number is 8.
Jesus is
8. And our number is 6.
Yes.
But soon to be a 7.
We will.
Amen.
Of course, the Sabbath has been spiritually fulfilled by Jesus, who is our Sabbath. but still coming literally to fill the Sabbath as a type of the millennial kingdom. Like a day is 1,000 years, and the Sabbath rest of the millennial kingdom is also 1,000 years. And actually, you might have already noticed, there are three applications to these seven feasts or appointments. They're called Moedim in Hebrew, and there's a historical application, there's a literal application, and a spiritual application for every single believer. And if I have time, I'll explain that all later, or certainly by next week we'll do that.
It's amazing how this teaching has been so neglected.
I know. It should have been taught right alongside the Ten Commandments, which
Amen.
Those originated from the Hebrews as well. But anyway, so Rosh Hashanah, it's the first of three still literally unfulfilled fall appointments of God. And at the end of the 6,000th year from Adam, known only to God, because the years in ancient days were not calculated properly. But the resurrection of the righteous, I do believe, will occur on the specific anniversary date of the creation of man, which is Adam, of course, so it's Adam's birthday. It's also called the Feast of Trumpets because it's a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Leviticus 23:23 says, and I quote, "In the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation," which means rehearsal, a holy rehearsal. So, for 30 days prior to the Feast of Trumpets, the Israelites would blow a shofar daily as a reminder and a warning to examine themselves thoroughly for any unrepented sin or unforgiveness or anything that might keep them from being a part of the most talked about, anticipated event, some year called the resurrection. So to remind them that they were in the season called Teshuvah, a time to concentrate and get closer to their Creator, which, by the way, that season is occurring right now, and we've been talking about that over the last few weeks. And let me be clear, this season called Teshuvah, which means to return to a closer union with God, is not just about repentance from sins. For in the Old Testament, they did that daily through sacrifices for their sins. Now, for us as born-again Christians, our sins were taken to the cross. So we know He forgives us immediately when we confess. But Teshuvah, as I said before, is more for those of sins of omission or unforgiveness towards somebody, or really to show remorse for not being closer to Him and instead letting the cares of this life supersede time with God in His scriptures. And I know we are all guilty of that. So let me say, if you are backsliding, or maybe you only have a head knowledge, not a real conversion of the heart, this would be the time to examine yourself, because some year He will call up His bride. And James 5 says it will be at the great harvest, which all farmers know is in the fall. Might even be next week. Glory be and hallelujah. So let's look at some common idiomatic phrases used for Rosh Hashanah. And the most common one is the last trump. This is probably the most misinterpreted idiom used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so important. This is an expression of Rosh Hashanah due to the blowing of 100 trumpets. Actually, both days of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and a trumpet is blown every day of Teshuvah as well. And that again was to usher in then the last trumpet, which would celebrate God's creation. Sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st. Honestly, the seventh angel that blows the trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same trumpet. And in fact, Pentecost has the idiom of the first trumpet due to the fact in Exodus 19, it was the first shofar blown by God himself when he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And as we'll expound on next week, Yom Kippur has the idiom called the great trumpet, as we see in Matthew 24:31 at his second coming, which will be on a Yom Kippur. And by the way, we will be with him riding on red horses, Revelation 19. Did I say red? I mean, right. All right. Also, another one. I get so excited about talking about it. I'm just sometimes say too many quick words. But anyway, the coronation is another idiom. And it talks about this coronation of the kings in Psalm 47. But they would use actually round bread, and it would symbolize a crown, because all kings were crowned on Rosh Hashanah, even if they assumed office earlier due to a previous king's death. But it's always their inauguration day. And we do the same thing here in America. They get elected in November, but their coronation isn't until January 20th, I think. Another name would be Yom Terah, and that just means Yom is day, and Terah is the sound of the shofar. So it's called Yom Terah, the day of the awakening blast, because it's meant to awaken the dead. It's the resurrection. Also called Chief of the Year, to begin over, you know. And Rosh Hashanah meals also include fruit and honey to symbolize a sweet new year. It's a typical saying to people, which we opened up tonight's program with, is Lashana Tova Tikitevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. So that's what you want to say to people. Lashana Tova Tikitevu. Another idiom is arise, because the actual word resurrection isn't in the Old Testament. Sort of like how the word rapture isn't in the New Testament. But instead, it's described. It's a picture. And we notice that heavily in Isaiah 26:19. Another one is open the gates. And we discussed that a couple of weeks ago in Isaiah 26. Open the gates so the righteous can enter in. That's you and me. And by the way, as we'll probably talk about next week, the gates are closed on Yom Kippur. In Hebrew, it's called the Nilah. And that, of course, is when he returns on a Yom Kippur. And once he's here, those gates are closed. They had better turn to the Lord before that. So that's because Rosh Hashanah is also called a day of judgment. And it certainly is a day of judgment to those who's going to be left behind. But also, we got to remember there's a beam of judgment up in heaven when we get up there with the books containing the deeds of all humanity that are up there are opened before him. And of course, Malachi 3:16 speaks of the book of remembrance. And it's also called the day of remembrance because of that. Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. Wow. Every word out of your mouth is important. It's also called the hidden day. And if you go to Psalm 81:3, it actually says, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the hidden moon on the feast day. Now, if your Bible, when you look this up, says full moon, that's actually a mistranslation, because if it was full moon, then it would be contradicting itself. It's actually number 3680, Bekasa, and it means covered or hidden. So that's where we get the hidden day. And, by the way, the beginning of the month is determined always by the first visible sighting. For its commencement, the shofar is blown, and this time it's one long blast. And Numbers 10:10 states that the trumpets should be blown at all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. The exception to this is on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah is 100 trumpets. And, of course, that was blown to differentiate that it was a new year. Everything has a purpose. And we've already touched on a little bit, no one knows the day of the hour, Mark 13:32. But if you keep reading in context, Jesus explains that he means you don't know which day, 24-hour period, or the exact hour of his return. And we know that because if you read verse 35, he adds, quote, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." And then he specifies, "In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." And because Rosh Hashanah is for 2 days, you also don't know which day. Anyway, the fact is important too. Jesus is also using wedding terminology because it was the father that told the groom when the hadar, which is the wedding chamber, was ready to his specifications to go get his bride. And she didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have hints from the groom's friends if it was getting close. As we have great hints right now, plus we have Jesus' friends too. By the way, his friends were also Moses and Elijah. This is our word. The Torah was penned by Moses, and Elijah is known to be the prophet over all the prophets, and these are the two who show up at the transfiguration. Our scriptures tell us how it will be and what signs to look for. That's why the bride, you and me, is expecting a shout that she would hear from afar as he approached her. We will hear that shout of the shofar and will meet him in the air very soon, maybe next week. How about that? So to us, it's the wedding of the Messiah. Let me repeat. God organized detailed wedding requirements for his first chosen with particular phrases that Jesus would use to give us huge clues about how it will be with us. As Paul clearly states in Romans 15, that the things written before, referring to the Old Testament, is now for our learning, like gathering clues to find the treasure, those gold nuggets that so excite us when we discover one. They are there if you choose to dig for it. And remember Proverbs 25:2, in my words, God hides them so we can find them. And the more difficult the treasure is to find, the more we become like him and closer to him, so that not only do we know him, but he knows us too. Sort of like a child when daddy hides the prize and how excited the child is when they find it, and the harder the better because it brings greater satisfaction. That's like our Abba Father. So keep looking for those gold nuggets. And precious one, if you're listening to me right now, but you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, accept his free gift into your heart, kneel down in the humbling position and repent of your sins that Christ paid the debt for by shedding his innocent blood on the cross for you. And if you just accept what he has done, then your punishment is erased. You can have a brand new, debt-free, forgiven life. Well, you can hear the music, and just want to remind you that he stands at the door of your heart and is knocking. So open that door. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Keep looking up. We might have to do a replay next week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.